Hello, friends, and welcome to the Leadership Deep Dive podcast. I'm Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here with my friend and partner, David Landuli. Hey, David.
Hey, Margaret.
And we have a guest here today who I'm really excited to introduce in a moment. But first, I really wanted to cue up the topic for today, which is we regularly speak, David and I, about our leadership training, our coach training, and how unique and special and powerful that was. And over the summer, one of the primary founders of the Coactive Training Institute, whose name is Henry Kimsey House, passed away in early July. And we just really wanted to talk about the impact he had. And so David and I have been impacted without ever knowing him. And we are happy to welcome on the podcast my absolute best friend on the planet. And also a person who worked much more closely one-on-one with Henry to help us just fill out the conversation. So today I would like to introduce you to my incredibly wonderful friend, Nancy West. She is a transformational coach who helps people uncover the hidden patterns that have shaped their lives so that they can live with greater freedom, authenticity, and choice. Through her coaching practice, Find Your True West, she is known for asking the question, what is your truthiest truth? And for helping people reconnect with the parts of themselves they have spent a lifetime trying to hide. Nancy coaches year-round, working with clients from wherever she is, often from her sailboat or other places she and her partner call home as they live a life of adventure and curiosity. So, Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret. I'm so happy to be here with you and David.
Yeah, and Nancy, I know you were, sorry, David, were you going to say something? I'm
I
doing a
was
lot
just,
of talking.
I have to say, your truthiest truth and your toothiest tooth. That's just what came to mind.
Oh, that's so fun.
Right.
So
But
Nancy, I know you were
now for something really serious.
really, really serious. Yes, Nancy, I know you were excited to come on the podcast and lend your voice to this tribute for Henry. So maybe tell us a little bit about who was Henry Kimsey House and how did he come storming into your life, which I think he kind of did.
Well, so I did the well at that time it was the coact it wasn't Coactive Institute, it was the Coaches Training Institute, and it had been started by Henry Kimsey House and a woman named Laura Whitworth. And I had done my coaches training and now was called to, just to go to leadership. And I chose to go with Henry because Henry actually developed the leadership program. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to go with Henry. And the back then it was, 2009 early. We got on phone calls. There was nothing, visual at all. And to hear his voice, I don't know why, but all I could think of was Rock Hudson. I just felt like this, this movie star, and but it seemed like Rock Hudson. So yes, I signed up, and that was 2009, and off I went to leadership, and it was held in California, and it was at a place where actually Karen and Henry had gotten married. So it was a very, very special retreat space called Wild Quest, and I believe that's the name. I'm gonna check that, but I'm my memory. Anyhow, he came, booming in. He came in to retreat one, and he was a force. Just from the moment he walked in, he was big. He was aware of everyone in the room. He just had this impact of coming into the room and knowing that something, for me, something big was going to happen. And so I got to spend 10 months with Henry through my leadership, the Water Dragons, and he actually really, he changed my life. He absolutely 100% changed my life. And that's because Henry believes in the bigness of people, that there's more inside of you. And he invites that. He invites people, whether it's your truthiest truth or, and that's not his words, those are mine, his truthiest truth, the truthiest truth, or just to be more, get bigger, have an impact, be you, fully permissioned. And That's the invitation. Dance in the moment. And we did that for 10 months. And my life has never been the same again.
Yeah. Is it fair to say it wasn't exactly love at first sight, though?
It was, it is. I had spent a lot of my life in personal growth, and so when Henry did walk in, he was just this very large man, and that, actually took hold of me from, a different part of my brain started like, is he okay? What's going on? And so I spent a lot of my time because I study humans, and I think I was studying Henry more, being hyper vigilant around Henry and who he was and, how he presented himself than I was as to what we were actually doing in retreat one. But here's where it changed. And this is possibly the moment that my life did change. In retreat two, which was creating for mother, because Henry believes transformation happens in relationship. And we were so fortunate to have his wife, Karen Kinsey House, come. And it was like in the first couple of days, there they were leading. And she started talking about, she said, all my life, I don't know if you felt like this, but I felt too big, too much. And everybody was trying to tamp me down and put me in a little box. And then she looked at him with like the most loving smile and locked eyes with him. She put her hand on his knee and she said, "So I just had to get someone big enough to hold all of me." And in that moment, I'm like, I need a Henry Kimsey House. I need someone big enough to hold all of me. Is it even possible? And I fell in love with him in that moment. In that moment, I got it. Like he could hold all of everyone, and no one was too big for him.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you got it. The moment, day one of retreat one, because you said this, I'll just repeat it for you. When you started noticing your judging, assessing mind, as soon as, I mean, that's the impact what just size can have, and size of personality, as I understand him. I've never met him, but his my understanding is his personality matched his size. But I would say that's an impact right from the get-go. I know you may have fallen in love with him in R2, but I think you had your this is my opinion. You see, we learn in leadership, leaders get to have opinions, and this is my intuition, is that day one, moment one, when you started noticing your judging, assessing mind was the impact right then and there.
I would agree. I would totally
Yeah.
agree. And I also, one of the things, and this is not so much from leadership, but like group dynamics, and we have Foreman, Storeman, and Norman. And, I didn't know it at the time, but, Henry at one point walked up to me in one of, like, it was retreat, probably two. And he said, "Nancy, make a mess." He said, "You just get bigger." Like he was, I think he was feeling that, like people weren't showing up fully, and he said to me, let's get bigger. You've got this. Just come in, bring your full self." It was an encouragement, and I'd never had anyone give me permission like to just let it rip. Usually, I was told like, "Small yourself up. Calm yourself down." And he was saying,
My
"Nancy,
son says,
be
you're
you."
at a 10, you're at a 10 right now, and I need you at like a 2, right? That was the
Right.
message. The message.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was like, "This room's at a two. We needed to, like get, let people be themselves, give them permission." And so it was the first time anyone gave me that invitation. And it was incredible. It was just incredible because it's also one of the things, we speak about in leadership, and he really taught me was, the ideas of resonance and dissonance, and what's going on inside and what's going on outside of us. Are we resonant? Are we dissonant? And I had spent so much of my life, like suppressing so much of who I am and longing to be all of who I am. And there I was being asked to be resonant and to really be myself. And I also want to, say, being in leadership, we have responsibility for our impact. So it's just not helter skelter, like blow it up. There's responsibility for impact. And we have to stay. And I know that a lot of the, leadership, model has changed over the years in terms of the language, but it was really, he talked about it, the stay is where the magic happens. We just have to, if we create the mess, we have to stay. And there in the stay is where the learning happens. And, this stuff was just, brought to me with such clarity because he insisted upon it. He insisted upon it.
I just kind of want to yes and that impact. And I don't know that my journey was, well, certainly it wasn't exactly what your journey was, but the tribute here to Henry is without him being in the front of the room, but with his curriculum and the people he helped train by the time I got to leadership. And that encouragement, I mean, for me, my story looks a little bit different. I mean, I think I really had this archetype of what a leader was supposed to look like. And certainly it was a man, not a woman, for starters. And it was somebody forceful and confident and not funny, but like very, very serious. And you know what? My whole leadership thing wasn't going super well because there's no part of that that's actually who I am. And when I went to leadership, I got permission, as you did, Nancy, to embrace, who the me-est version of me is. And, that's warmer and it's eccentric and it's goofy and it's funny and it's all of those things. And so I get to inhabit that. And now I also get to turn around and help my fundraisers learn how to show up with that authenticity. And it makes all the world of difference. And it's so amazing to me, just these, the ripples of Henry. And I imagine, David, you have your own version of that story as well.
I would say I got cracked open in the coaching curriculum. That was where my egg got cracked and the yolk spilled out in the room, By the time I got to leadership, after a year of, five courses, 6 month practicum learning, by the way, all of that stuff co-created by Henry and his wife and Laura, and I got to be in the room with Eric Koner, who several times, who was one of the early, like I think coach number one that they train, if I'm not mistaken. So I got through transmutation a bunch of Henry, and Eric's a danger type, as I think Henry was. I'm not sure. No, oh no, he wasn't eccentric.
Yes.
Oh,
Henry
okay.
was an eccentric.
Got
And
it.
that, the idea of, seeing, the lens that eccentrics view the world, we learn so much. Go ahead.
So I was blessed with eight full-blown eccentrics in my tribe, full-on eccentrics. As you might imagine, what a room of 24 people with eight full-blown eccentrics with lid completely up being like. My lid came up on my eccentricity, and so for me that was a gift, in terms of allowing more of my own humor and my own eccentricity to shine through. And so that traces back to Henry for sure, from what I'm hearing.
I love that, and I don't know how much you've introduced like the typing, that we do in leadership into the podcast and to your listeners. But, one of the hallmarks was, that Henry had an acting background, and so we did, we spent, so much of R1, doing a typing exercise. And without going into all of it, we were all these things and so much more. It wasn't a limitation, it was just a place to start from. And so, as we did all of these, really acting games, to, have our leadership tribe, essentially vote on what type we were presenting, which is really how what happens energetically when we enter a room. That was such a gift for every single person to understand. And certainly for me, I was typed as a danger. And it's you're not dangerous. In fact, dangers are very safe. They're the sword of truth. And for me, it was such an eye-opening moment, like, because I always felt like when I would walk into a room that people wanted something from me, and I didn't know, like, am I supposed to perform? Am I supposed to talk? What am I supposed to do? And then understanding I was a danger, and it was really like it's the energy before a storm. There's something in the air. And Henry, was just so amazing at just using this as a basis for our leadership training, and I'm sure in your trainings, that like to create from my type. So as a danger, how do I create from being a danger? How am I the sword of truth? How am I, standing in that space where really the safest person? Henry was a truth teller too, in his eccentricity. And as I said, we were all these things. He was a truth teller, and I'm a truth teller too. And I think that, as part of a danger, it's just a really safe place because we stand by our people. We are, last man standing in some ways. So anyhow, I just love that we're talking about our types and eccentricity, humor, danger, all there's like seven, eight types. And it just gave us such a playground. And that's what Henry, actors are. They like to play, and Henry wanted to play. He wanted to play big, and he wanted people to have fun playing. And what can we create together when we all play together? So, with his theater background and the leadership training and typing and everything that we've spoken to, Henry, had designed this meticulously.
Well, I love what you're saying about acting and Henry coming from the acting background in New York City, as I recall his history. And as you know, I'm a big fan of movies. I've written a book about movies, and as I think about the movies that are most memorable, it's the ones where the actors are embodying their strongest type. And I see this now so clearly when I watch films. And the acting, when you have that energy of complete, whether it's whatever your type is, there's like the warmth of Margaret and the truth telling of Nancy and the, I don't know, on any given day, it could just be my sense of humor or my danger or my warmth. It all comes together in such a beautiful production in the movie. But that can be life, except people tamp this stuff down, thinking like, oh, I have to be an automaton robot and come to work and say certain things, right?
And isn't it amazing? I mean, just thinking about, I don't believe I've ever had a client where we did not spend some time, I mean, I didn't have access to the full leadership typing 3-day exercise, but this concept, right? I mean, this concept of less automaton, I can't even say it, automatron, right? The thing David's doing with his hands. To be less that and more like who you are meant to be, who you are when you are compelling, and to help clients dig for that and believe it
I agree.
is so powerful.
I love what you're saying about clients, especially because And what Henry really stood for was that, he just believed that we all had our unique expression of the whole. And I think clients generally they come, with just an issue, a longing, a desire that, feels impossible. And it's like I just have this image that it's like, a desire to, take a car up the mountain, but, only one third of the engine is working. Like, you're not getting up that mountain. And so to really bring the, support people, who are creative, resourceful, and whole, and really, finding, and giving themselves permission to express their whole. Because once that whole of who they are, their uniqueness comes in, and then we start playing with each other, something even bigger gets created. And that's what, he was so interested and curious about that. What else is really possible? What happens when, we're co-creating together? And, he died on 4th of July. And, it's when I heard this, there were two, I can't imagine a world where Henry no longer physically exists. But also, it's, on Independence Day. And, what his offering was just independence, like, independence and freeing ourselves. So I, that's, and that's what we're trained to do with our clients. Like, leadership was just giving us more tools and more permission so that we can even go back into working with clients, doing front of the room work, and living the model.
I feel like another huge lesson that came to me was this idea of disruption and of disorienting things, and the ways where the unplanned happen, and how do we welcome and deal with, right? I mean, sometimes with clients, getting them to be more of themselves actually disrupts every part of their lives, right? And as leaders, sometimes when we show up as ourselves or we follow an urge, the immediate effect is things, come a little apart instead of everything going neatly and seamlessly. And I'm just sort of curious from both of you, how has this, I mean, for me, I learned to trust disruption in a way that I was terrified before leadership. I was terrified of the idea of disruption and things not going well. And so much of our training, which I believe started with Henry and or Laura, but is about how to clean up a mess, how to learn from the things that go badly. It was just such a reorientation to my own relationship, my own very dysfunctional relationship with failure. But that's been one of the biggest things that I've taken with me, and I'm curious about your experiences.
I just I'm gonna jump in because I said, like, I had a co back of the room leader who was also someone I went through all of my coaches training with, and like we would just look at each other with our mouths dropped. It was like watching this master. And to what you just said, I would say to him, like, how do you do it? How do you do it? And he would say, I'm not following the words. I'm following the energy. Sometimes there's certain words that light up for me, and I follow that energy. And it's so interesting because actually, I'm just Nancy West, but I heard you say go badly. And like, really, is it badly? Like, I didn't hear anything else, but I heard the word badly. And so that's where, like, where it starts is, like, where those words light up. And the rest of it is just energy that follows the language. And so Henry, would really speak always to the energy. What's the energy in the space? The energy in the room? What is the energy of the type? And so when you're talking about disruption, and then the word badly comes in, it's like this big, blinking light that that's a perspective that, with all due respect, that you have. I mean, this isn't a coaching moment. I'm just saying that it's like, if you want to know how Henry worked, like, and there are other people who could speak to it in far more depth than me. I never led beside him. I've only led by him. I've assisted him. But he followed the energy, and he didn't listen to the words as much as the energy of what was being spoken. And so when with clients, when the urges happen, it's and it feels like a disruption, is it badly? Like if we're, how do we hold all these things to be true? Like creative, resourceful, and whole. And now, there's been a disruption. How do we stay and hold the space and trust, as you said, that our client is going to move their needle a little bit or not?
Well, I there's two things that are coming up for me. The first is the having what leadership did for me, and it really disoriented me. There's that word when I was in leadership because I had just come out of coaching, and then you go into the leadership program, and it's a totally different dynamic, and you are liberated to do shit that in the coactive coaching model you wouldn't think of doing with a client. And so I was like aware of that as I was going through, holding these two things simultaneously. And to this day, as a result of Henry and all of his coaching and leadership offspring, we'll call them. I am willing to say stuff that to clients and be 100% responsible, and yet give myself full permission to say whatever it is I'm feeling needs to be said, and then stay and watch and listen. And that's more often than not. Even if it's years later, the client has a breakthrough. People come back to me like 10 years. Do you remember when you said this to me? And I was like, yes. And that's sort of the people withhold. Like, this is a big thing I learned from Landmark, which in the days of Henry, he went through the S training. Okay. And I have it from somebody who was in the back of the room when he was in the S training with Werner. But people withhold, and that's just what people do. And I have training that we've all been through, learned to notice when I'm withholding, and then make a choice. Off More often than not, I mean, be careful of how I choose my words, but I'm going to not withhold.
Yeah. And I think, it was so much about, Nancy, early on, you talked about this concept of stay and about taking responsibility for impact. But as leaders, learning to stay and learning to clean it up, to take responsibility, to learn and reorient if that's what's needed in the space, like having those strengths and skills add so much courage to us as coaches and as leaders because we stop worrying that we're going to get something wrong or that it's going to go badly, and we start to distrust our skills to stay, to take responsibility for what happened, for what we have done, and to allow it to be this incredible, canvas for people to learn from rather than something really organized. Like there's always a little chaos in this world. And that feels really okay to me now, in a way it didn't.
I'm curious, Nancy, about Henry's heart. Not the heart attack that he might have had, but his heart.
Henry loved
Oh,
humans.
yeah, that's what I want to hear about.
Henry loved humans, and he believed in the potential of every single one. When 22 people walked into leadership, he held every single one of them as a leader. There was no way that he could use judgment and say, no, like, out of the box, like at R1, like, no, this person is not a leader. He had 22 people arrive into his leadership, tribe that he was leading, and his heart held every single person as a leader. And he just behaved in this way through, R1, R2, R3, R4. Now, I believe, as an aside, that there were definitely times when he did see, people's limitations and capacities, and he just knew, where they were, that, not everyone is going to just open up full throttle, and I don't think that's the goal. Like, I think the goal is to meet people where they are, and he had given, leadership as an invitation to be more of who I am and understand that, and have an impact in the world. I mean, there was, I don't know how it evolved leadership, but there was always the leadership project. People had a leadership project, and so what was, one's project that was supposed to continue, after leadership? There's so many unbelievable global projects that have come out of leadership grads, and that's because Henry held them, not just, for front of the room leadership, not just to be a better CTI coach, but to actually go make a difference with our one beautiful life. Thank you, Mary Oliver. So, his heart was enormous, and his heart believed, and his heart trusted. And I know you were asking about his heart. I just want to say that pulling disruption and his heart, and Margaret used the word canvas, and I also know that they've changed this also in leadership. But Henry had devised, and one of the things that completely separated this program from any other leadership program was that he brought in the idea of the space. And in order to understand the space, we had, color-coded cards. And so, and we all had, those cards in our lap when it was introduced. And then he would say, space check. And everybody held up their card of what they thought the space was. It's green, it's growing, it's nurturing, it's, red, it's hot, it's angry, it's black, that's, scary, it's blue, it's purple, it's regal. And so these colors of the space was the canvas in which he worked. And because he devised it, because he, this was his brainchild. And, we all, at one point or another had to, go up to the front of the room, and he'd say, okay, create yellow space. And we would have to create yellow space. And then he'd say, now turn it black. And so because this was something he was so skilled at, he exactly knew what part of the palette to put, onto the canvas of the room. And let me tell you, he was great at black. I mean, he could turn that room black faster than anything. And he could then get it back to green just as quickly. So, I think that speaks to his heart as well, is that, his black wasn't to scare the shit out of people. His black, there was a scavenger hunt, and everyone went on the scavenger hunt, and we came back, and this is something that was his alone, I mean, his idea, and he wrote a book with one of my tribe mates, The Stake. And the stake is something that you always have to create a stake for any event. And he had ground that into us. If you're having an event, you create a stake. So when we all came back to debrief, he said, so did anybody create a stake? And everyone was just like jaw dropped, sort of like, and then one of the groups said something like, well, we were driving in the car, and like someone said, like, maybe we should create a stake. And like with the swiftness you cannot believe, and with a booming voice of Henry, he yelled into our group, you stop the fucking car. And there was silence. And let me tell you, no one has ever forgotten to create a stake ever again.
That's good.
And I took a lot of things away from that exercise, but among the most significant, I think, is that all of us, I mean, I may not have the presence or capacity for, raising my voice or whatever that Henry had to change space like that, but that every one of us actually has the capacity as leaders to have that impact, to change the space, to we have a role in having people feel the way that we want and need them to feel as we have the microphone. And that, for so many of my clients, is such an incredibly jaw-dropping concept. It was for me at the beginning, like, like I would have really forever seen myself as a very passive recipient of like what was happening in the space, but learning that I and everybody else is empowered and has skills to change. To change the mood, the tone, the receptivity of people, to add humor, to tell a yummy story and make people feel all gooey. Like all of us actually have that capacity. And that was a big mind blower for me.
I want to share a quick little story. When my co-backroom leader for the, we were both water dragons in service of the runs. We, Karen and Henry would have breakfast meetings, and it was made clear that we got to observe them as they designed and talked, but we were just there as, quiet observers of what they would talk about. And they would come in and they would, start talking about individuals in the tribe, and they would say, "Oh, I think, like this person really, like we need to get this person to raise their hand to, like this person, we need to work with this person." And they started naming people in like in order, like, person A and then person D and then person F and then person L, and then it was almost like they were putting it out into the universe in some way, because I am telling you, 100% of the time, we would get into that room that morning for debriefing, and like without even asking person A, like, "Do you have a question?" All of a sudden, with the content or whatever they were saying in that moment, person A's hand would go up, and my partner and I would just look at each other in the back of the room, jaws dropped, like, "This is how do they do this?" It was like watching just magic and skill and precision, and they were working with all parts of the space and trusting the space, and the space was coming forward in the ways that they had spoken about and designed in ways I can't even speak to. I just know that I witnessed this firsthand. It was incredible.
I'm wondering if maybe to close today, rather than our normal close, that maybe each of us offer an acknowledgement to Henry Kimsey House. And the art of the acknowledgement is another piece that came with a lot of importance through CTI. I'm happy to start. I'll start. So, to Henry Kimsey House, who I never had the pleasure of meeting, and I'm sad that he's not with us. But I guess I want to say thank you for believing in me, who you never met. For offering the magic for me to find like who I could be as a leader. Like I didn't even know that was possible. And I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge Henry for the audacity that it took for him to be who he was and to create what he created. It had a huge impact in my life to this day, still does, as we are going down memory lane. I'm getting flooded with all of my experiences from leadership, but it for me, it also started in the coaching core curriculum, which is also a tribute to him. And the coaching didn't exist before Henry. So I want to acknowledge him for his pioneering ambition.
Well, I want to acknowledge him for He was a visionary of a world that had possibility beyond imagination. And his leadership project, I believe, was to invite everyone into that possibility. And so, it is, his legacy lives right here on this podcast with the three of us, but it lives, to the nth degree for all the people that we impact through our coaching, our clients, through our relationships, in the ways that we live in relationship in a world right now that needs people to be working together, to be listening to one another, to be staying, to be cleaning up messes. I just want to acknowledge him for his vision of what was possible when we really stand in our leadership. And I also want to personally acknowledge him for being personally a teacher, a mentor, a friend during the times when he was in my space personally, somebody who truly believed in me, and somebody who I want to acknowledge him for the coach that I am today, and for the space that I'm able to take up and the impact that I'm able to have. The deepest, deepest of gratitude.
Thank you. And gratitude today to Nancy for being here and sharing all of your wonderful stories. And Nancy, if any of our listeners are interested in learning more about how to find their own truthiest truth, what's the best way for them to find you?
Oh, well, they can go on to my current website, which is nancywest360.com, and they can learn more about me, and then get in touch with me through there. My email, nancywest360@gmail.com as well. So I'd love to hear from anyone who would love to talk to me or get a flavor of my coaching.
Wonderful. Nancy, thank you again for being a guest, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.